to Four Hour at Four on KMB.
He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Brust. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison is where you can find us as well. And of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app. For those who missed it, this was a beautiful sound from Lane Grindle on the Brewers Radio Network.
The 1-2 pitch is a fly ball. Deep center field. Marcy's back. Track. Wall. Boy. Boy. Baseball. Wild Bill, a three-run shot, and the Brewers walk off the Marlins, and they break out the brooms in Milwaukee.
There it is, found a way, a very exciting way to end the series in sweeping the Marlins. Kyle's bored because somebody else was bored. This was Jim Rutledge earlier today filling in for Wilde and Tausch.
I think walk-off home runs are the least exciting way to end a game. I just saw it. Like I've experienced a walk-off football play. Okay. I've experienced a walk-off game winner, a basketball shot, and I experienced a walk-off home run. They're all awesome. But the walk-off home run, like, it was just all right, cool. I mean, again, it was like,
yeah, but then
it's a walk-off, but like a game-winning basketball shot, there's nothing like that. And then a game-winning football, and I think it's because the games are more important, because it still was like, cool.
Crickets.
Again, it's such a weird.
It's just weird. It's just
a weird stance to have. Like, I would say one of the greatest plays in baseball is, yes, a triple play is something great. Seeing somebody strike out somebody in the bottom of the ninth inning, bases loaded, you striking somebody out, you get hyped up. But a walk-off home run.
Home runs in general are sick.
But a walk-off home run has created some of the best moments in baseball. I think back to Prince Fielder, who to me was the greatest Brewer home run hitter I have ever seen in my life. He hit 50 home runs in a season for the Milwaukee Brewers. He hit a home run, and when he got the home plate, he jumped on a plate and everybody fell. It was amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So to sit here and say hitting a home run that ends a game, walk-off fashion, is just like any old another day I've seen it before, is a ridiculous take.
Honestly, I don't need the exit velocity and the launch angle of the ball. I need the exit velocity and the launch angle of the bat. How high did it go? How fast did it travel? Because that was a launch from William Contreras as he threw the bat.
And, like,
and also, I love that he took a second to watch it. And he took a couple steps and was just like, I can throw this as far in the air as I want. And what are they going to do? Tackle me?
Game's over, series over. It's time to go. And so that,
pack your bags, get on your flight, Miami.
That's exactly what it was. So that's why I just don't understand. I get it. Jim said it came to his mind. Well, I don't understand why anything like that would come to your mind. That has to be a hater in you. There's no way you watch any team that you love hit a walk-off home run in that fashion, and the thought that would come to your mind is, oh, I don't know why everybody's so excited. I don't know why they're celebrating like that. That
doesn't make exciting.
Why is the crowd jumping up and down? Like, what is that? No, when you win, you get excited. But when you win in that type of fashion, it should be celebrated. And that's why I say we should be applauding William Contreras for the way that he walked the walk after he hit that home run and celebrated, because everybody got to see him earn his opportunity to showboat.
Ron the Key on the Carbless Talking Text Line says, Jim says they're all awesome. You're not doing what he actually said justice.
And that's not true. No, it's not. He didn't.
Ron's a big hooper, so a big basketball shot guy.
Oh, is he?
Instead of using buzzer beater.
Is that why he likes you so much?
A big basketball shot.
That's why he likes you so much, because you hit a big shot?
Ron doesn't like me.
Oh, Ron loves him some Ben Brust. He doesn't let you get away with anything. Only somebody that loves you would not let you get away with anything.
Again, I think it would have been more exciting if there was a balk to score a run.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would get everyone going.
Everybody loves that.
Pass balls, even boring. Yeah, I mean, like,
a hit by pitch.
Hit by pitch, walk. I actually think a walk might be boringer than a balk. Because at least a balk.
A balk is interesting.
It's kind of controversial.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
you have
like,
to. They all talk
and you point
your face.
And a balk is just like, all right.
Don't tell Jim Rutledge that. Don't tell him that.
So even though I was joking with a balk might be a crazy way. Well, I wonder how many games have actually ended in a balk.
Games have ended in balks.
No,
I don't know how frequent.
Well, easy with that frequent word.
I mean, I guarantee
way less than walk-off home runs.
I feel like at least once, maybe not once a year. Maybe it is. I feel like the Brewers, maybe I'm getting runs confused with ending games.
The new age version of that is ABS overturns
or pitch clock violations.
Like that's the new weird climactic finish.
Yes. It's almost as bad as, you know, I could even make even better argument against buzzer beaters. And by the way, mine was not a game winner. I tied the game against Michigan with the buzzer beater. Did hit the three in the overtime to win it. No big deal. But as somebody who has experienced a buzzer beater.
Did you know that, C-Cat?
One thing that I would make an argument for is in basketball now, the buzzer beater happens. Mm-hmm. 0.1 second is on the clock, and they got to go put it back. Yeah, you know what happens when you hit a nuke? The ball's gone.
It's over.
It's over.
And even if there's not 0.1 on,
football,
it's reviewing it.
Football, every scoring play is reviewed. Like, there's no reviewing if the ball hit the bat and it went into the stands over the wall.
What you saw is what you saw. It happened.
I guess, to my own argument, they can review home runs.
I mean, they can, but more than often, it's not getting reviewed.
Correct. I guess I was just bringing to the point that it makes it even more exciting and special because the moment continues and everyone can enjoy it. There's no emotional back and forth of, we got to look to make sure.
Yeah, in football, wait, is there a flag? Is there a flag? Please tell me there's no flag on the play on that game-breaking touchdown.
That's gosh. True. Even thinking, again, that just makes me think of not of a game winner, but of a play where Jaden Reed caught an amazing ball. Flag on the play. Hold. He gets hurt.
Yeah, and we didn't see him for weeks. So.
In the World Cup, every cool thing that happens, you have to wait to celebrate because you're going to see that one dork on the sideline with the flag up for offside.
They could take a goal back in like a minute or two later into the game.
That too.
You could be playing. You could be playing the damn soccer game, and all of a sudden they go, wait. No goal. That's crazy.
Or goal and going back. Yeah, it is. VAR is something else. But, yeah, there's something to a walk-off home run that is really, truly just makes it so dang special. And to sit here and say, oh, one is better than another, that's fine. But he made it seem like they were boring. If he just said, like, hey, let's rank them, then fine. Let's rank walk-off. But he made it seem like this was boring. I've seen it before. Well, I've seen a buzzer beater.
No. He's done it before, he said as well.
I've hit
a walk-off home run.
My assumption is when he says
I've hit a basketball shot.
I mean, I would love, Jim, go ahead, text in. I would love to know if he actually did this. My assumption was he had seen one before.
It sounded like him.
Because, I mean, walk-off home run, game-winning shot. Touchdown in the game, that would be amazing.
Alex and McGuanago, you're on the Carbless Talking text line.
So guys, I was listening to Rutledge today, and first of all, he's not even a Brewers fan. He didn't seem to even like baseball, so he's complaining about a walk-off and acting like it's all ho-hum, understanding that he just doesn't even care.
Well,
like,
he's a Cubs fan
actually
for the record.
Well, he is, but to say, like, I'm happy for my friends who are Brewers fans, like, it's such a weak take, first, I mean, altogether. But then think about what walk-off you usually see in football. It isn't a touchdown, it's usually a field goal. You want to talk about
powerful.
The most boring way to end a game, it's a field goal. That's a boring way to end a game. I will take a shot at the end of a clock in the NBA, I will take a walk-off 10 times out of 10 over a field goal to end the game. Just saying.
100%.
100%. Make sure you drive safe. I hear the blinker.
Well, he got SBS telling everybody on the road what he's doing.
No.
That is safe.
And also, the football thing is so valid because it is one of the more fascinating things that we love this barbaric game and love it. Like, absolutely love football. And you could go the entire game beating each other up, getting injured, and some scrawny little kicker is going to decide your fate.
All right, now let's not call.
They're in comparison to the rest of those guys,
well, yeah,
I don't care if they're strong or not. They're not strong.
They're
like
not
the NFL players.
They decide more games than others. It's very rare that you got 4 seconds left on the clock and you're calling a play to try to score a touchdown that's going to win the game. It's rare that you're down 4 and you're scoring with no time left on the clock.
Unfortunately, that did happen to the Green Bay Packers.
That was in overtime. That was in overtime where they walked off.
Yeah.
When you get to overtime, then yeah, those can become walk-offs. But like I'm talking about like no time left on the clock type thing. Because that was when Keyshawn Nixon got burnt, there was still time on the clock. It was just the game was over because they scored a touchdown.
And think about how rare, like the only example I can think of in the top of my head, and from going back, Rasul
Douglas's
pick against Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has there been anything else that's ended the game with a score?
He had a pick six to end the game in the playoffs?
I think it was to end the game. He picked somebody off.
And then it was over.
It was over. So it wasn't even a score. So it was just a turnover.
Because I will say, one of the greatest ends to a game is the Green Bay Packers versus Seattle Seahawks way back in the day when Al Harris got the interception that ended the game.
Obviously Richard Rodgers.
Yeah, well, that was great, too. But the pick six to end the overtime game was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Again, now I'm like, I'm actually, we're actually, we're trying to see. No, we're trying to see if Jim actually has like an actual point.
Well,
I don't think there is. I thought of that initially, but I like to do my due diligence here.
When it comes to, see, here's where Jim's not right. Jim trying to say that it's just a normal play is where he is wrong. Now, ranking what's more exciting, I will say the Hail Mary with Richard Rodgers is
but
more
that's
memorable.
Even more rare.
Yeah, it is.
Like that you can't put it in a bucket.
That's why I'm saying that now. So Jim's...
Or in this bucket of our conversation.
Yeah, but Jim's whole thing was, I see it before. I've seen it. It's more frequent, so it's not as exciting, which I disagree. I think it is very exciting, especially the way they celebrate.
Everyone in AFM was wishing for one thing to happen when Contreras was at plate, and it happened. And
sure
they
did.
Paid a ticket to be there, and their wishes came true. I'm not hearing any minimalization of that walk-off home run versus other sports' walk-offs.
Kick, punt, return, touchdown to end a game from Jordan? I think that'd be electric.
Who's but Jordan?
On the Carbless Talk and Text
Line. Kick, punt? What? Wait, you said kick? Oh! I thought you were saying, I'm thinking like you said a player. I'm going to say, who?
No.
Got it. A touchdown in. That's remember the Green Bay Packers got into the playoffs with Deshaun Jackson had the punt return for a touchdown for the Eagles.
That was a nasty one, too.
It was fantastic.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace reacting to Jim Rutledge's hate towards walk-off home runs being exciting, which Bill Contreras, again, that bat throw, velocity, exit velocity, launch angle, all were amazing on the home run, but also the bat throw.
Mm.
Kyle, I need you to tell us about all the customized things in your world, because you got a lot of them.
I have a lot of great customized things inside of my world. And what I want y'all to understand is, listen, when it comes to your windows, you can definitely get your windows updated when you work with Universal Windows Direct. Now is a perfect time to update your windows. If you've been looking and you're like, I'm sick and tired of having to work to get my windows up, or you see a lot of chip paint, listen, you don't have to worry about that warm air coming in during the summer days. You can upgrade your house with Universal Windows Direct just like I did, and I do not regret it, not one bit, not one bit. It was one of the best investments I made in my home, and I want you to have that experience as well. And when you work with Universal Windows Direct to update the windows in your home, you can buy 4 windows and get 4 free, and there's absolutely no limit when it comes to how many windows that you decide to replace. If you continue to get more windows, you continue to get more free. Plus, you'll get 48 months of 0% interest financing as well. That's 4 full years with zero interest, making this one of the easiest times to invest in your home. So if you're looking to update your windows, work with my friends at Universal Windows Direct. Give them an easy, non-pressure call today at 414-410-2000. That's 414-410-2000, or hit them up at UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free in-home estimate today. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
C-Cat did some great work. He's got Pat Murphy on how they're going to be using Jacob Mizorowski moving forward. That will help give some more clarity as to what Kyle and I talked about earlier in the show. Murph on Miz. Next.
Tonight on 94.5 ESPN, listen to history made as Thanasis Antetokounmpo in his analysis celebrate the 5-year anniversary of the Milwaukee Bucks NBA championship. Yes, today is 5 years since the Bucks won their first championship in 50 years. Hear conversations with Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Splash Lopez, and more, plus a never-before-told story about Giannis Antetokounmpo and his rehab schedule to get back on the court in time for the NBA Finals. History made from 7 to 9 p.m. tonight on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Visit Milwaukee and Good Health Saunas.
Kyle and Brust across ESPN Wisconsin. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace. You, the K&B fam. As promised, C-Cat's going to deliver like he always does. He said he had some good audio from Pat Murphy talking about Jacob Mizrowski.
Yeah. I think we got to put him back up and make sure we do it in a mindful way.
That was your Pat Murphy impression. So he said,
I couldn't understand your Pat Murphy impression.
We have to build them back up and use them in the right way.
Yeah. No. I think we have to build them back up and make sure we do it in a mindful way.
I don't even think that sounds, I don't think you're even close. I think you're just thinking because he's old. You're just doing like a.
Just read the quote as C-Cat.
I don't think he has a rash.
Pat Murphy said what about Jacob Mizrowski?
I think we have to build him back up and make sure we do it in a mindful way.
Build him back up. Damn.
That's
this language they're using around him makes it seem
scary.
I was scared when they first said, you know, fatigue or whatever, and he needed some time. And now the way Pat Murphy's addressing build him back up, I get it. He was 2 weeks, but it wasn't like he'd been out for a month. He wasn't on the
I was on to something.
Okay, what's the update?
To do with Jacob Mizrowski and Pat Murphy.
I'm lost now. I don't know what you're talking about now.
We went through, as we were discussing, if you think that he should be on some type of pitch count that the Brewers keep him on to prepare for the playoffs.
Yes.
So I said, here's the strikeout number at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Here's the outs recorded number.
Did it move?
Outs recorded since Pat Murphy has talked.
Whoa.
Off the board.
No!
And I said, if you think that they're going to be mindful, didn't use mindful, but be going to think about his pitch count, then under some value at the plus money. And over 8.5 was minus 150, now down to minus 140.
Mm.
So the money's coming in on people thinking it may not be your typical.
You think they listened to us and went to Pottle? Yeah, just say that.
Yeah.
Pottawatomie Sports.
Yeah, we moved the book.
We moved
the book with look, all of the K&B fam heading over there.
Look at us. Look what we did.
No, but like it speaks to the fact of our conversation. Again, I would have loved to heard from Pat Murphy. Not the raggedy like fake version.
Are you mad at him because the audio was bad? What are you supposed
to
do?
No, him trying to pretend to be Pat Murphy was horrible.
Do you know how Pat Murphy sounds?
Try to be mindful. Build him back up in a responsible way.
I don't even know what to say. You're not a good impersonator, are you?
That's for you to decide.
He's a big stand-up comedian guy.
What? No, he
is. Loves stand-up comedy.
No, he does not.
No, you're a fan of stand-up comedy.
Yeah, big fan.
Who's your favorite comic?
It rotates a little
three.
Bit.
Top three.
Gillis is great.
Okay.
Gotta say, Louis C.K. is a top dog.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm probably going to have to, good question. It's a battle for third.
Battle between who for third? You're missing
Chappelle's
something.
Up there.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle. Hilarious. Yes.
Okay. That's why he's a battle for third.
Battle for third. I'll put him in front of Shane Gillis.
I like Matt
well,
McCusker.
Tweets their own. Kyle.
Who's Matt? Matt, he's the one who got his teeth done.
I don't think so.
Anyway, you did a bad Pat Murphy. You like stand-up comedy. And you need to work on it if you're going to make it in that career.
I don't need to be the impression guy.
He's not making it in that
world. We'll leave that to Jesse Nelson.
You ever seen Jamie Foxx before stand-up?
Stop.
I'm trying to see his range. Kevin Hart. Cat Williams.
Cat's funny.
Cat's hilarious.
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. Eddie Murphy. He's a little bit too old for us.
Do you like any white comedians? Okay.
I do. What's the one?
Matt Rife.
Matt, that's the guy who got his teeth done. Matt's funny. I like Andrew
Fisher.
I do like Andrew Fisher. There's another Andrew comedian.
Yeah. Come at him.
What do you mean?
All your biased answers.
What do you mean? No, I like all comedians.
Dan and Sheboygan, you're on the Carbless Talking Text Line. Get us back on track.
Scholes.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Do you think a change of pace could be exactly what someone like Freddie Peralta can need? Because the Brewers, they don't need Cy Young Freddie Peralta. They just need someone to eat up innings, because if they keep Chad Patrick and Ashley in the bullpen and avoid having them be spot starters, I think that kind of preserves an advantage that they might have. When you go with Ashby, Patrick, Uribe, and McGill, I think they've got some pretty good arms in the bullpen. And even if Peralta, if you throw away his best two starts and his worst two starts, I don't think his ERA is that bad. And the Mets are just a dumpster fire. He probably just has a change of pace and getting back to the friendly confines of familiar pitching coaches and get some adrenaline back in the race. I think a little change could do him a world of good.
I don't think anyone's going to disagree that a change of pace would be good. Do you want to take that contract on?
Whose contract?
Freddie's.
He's making what? $8 million? He's not making a lot of money this year. They didn't give. Did they give him? There's no. They signed him. They traded him.
Yeah,
and
but
he only
want,
had one year. Yeah,
do you,
I'm not
do,
worried about.
Do you want him to be a part
dollars.
Of the Brewers for the next however long?
No, he's. You would just get. He's a rental. He's a very inexpensive rental, and what makes Freddie Peralta so appealing to the Brewers is that there's familiarity there. He's good. He's been around the Brewers, and they know exactly what they're going to – well, they have expectations, and it's like he's coming home. This is his home. He was with the Brewers. He's been gone for a couple months. It's like a kid who decided to go to another
college.
Oh, damn,
I forgot. $8 million and then unrestricted.
Yeah, he's going to be a free agent. Maybe it might be in his best interest to come back to Milwaukee.
To pitch well again and try and earn a contract.
Yeah, because it
do it all over again.
Because it has been miserable.
The open
there.
Market's not going to be what it was.
It is not going to be
as it was when he started game one of
he was the opening
the
day starter.
NLDS, NLCS.
Hell, game one of 2026 when he was the opening day starter for the Mets.
No, I know. I'm saying in his best year, arguably, what I mean. There's no downside because he's going to be cheap. The Mets will take anything.
Yeah, at this
they
point,
suck.
Now, getting a good prospect, just getting one little prospect that has potential. I mean, you're talking about a top 25 prospect for Freddie Peralta at this point.
My brain forgot they traded for him.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
That's Brandon Sproat and Jet Williams. The guys have not been contributing to the roster who they got for him quite yet. I mean,
Sproat. You want Jet back?
I wouldn't even give him Jet back.
I'm joking.
Y'all want Jet? Hell no. Y'all going to have to throw in another prospect. Y'all want Jet back.
And you got
to
give us cash too.
Yeah, to pay for this contract. But no, I would really welcome Freddie here because I do think that Freddie would be a much better pitcher with the Brewers than what he is.
And by
the
way, as Dan said, if you throw out his best and worst starts, he's not as bad as it showed. Their defense sucks.
It's not good.
It's abysmal.
I got to see a start with Freddie Peralta, and I'm watching the defense. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like they're making mistakes.
It's the Mets. They suck.
No, they're just not. They're not very good. And so I do believe that Freddie would feel comfortable back at home, and he'll be fine here. So I would love for the Brewers to make that trade.
Life comes at you fast, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Peralta will be seeking a contract similar to Max Fried's 8-year, $218 million deal.
Good luck. I mean, good luck. Freddie might be finding himself to get a prove it deal next year because Freddie is he 29? 30?
Again, it doesn't matter. It would be perfect at the right price.
Perfect
at the right price.
He's 30 years. I'm talking about Freddie Peralta for himself. Poor guy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't care about Freddie Peralta for himself. I care about if he were to.
That's crazy. You ate fastball. You was yelling fastball Freddie all last year. Now it's like, I don't give a dang.
It's about what he can do for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you don't like the guy or root for him. I don't care how much money he makes after this.
No, I'm not super concerned about that. I hope he makes as much money as possible. But I will say I would be happy for Freddie Peralta to come back to Milwaukee. I think it'll be great for the Brewers because we know exactly the potential that he has. He was the ace of the staff last year.
If Harrison healthy, he'd probably be behind Harrison.
I would probably have him number two, just because he's been there before. I mean, that's a good 1-2-3. You talking about 1-2-3? That's a good 1-2-3.
It's good, not great.
I mean, you know Freddie in the playoffs. I mean, he's gonna have an inning.
Freddie's gonna have his.
He's gonna have an inning.
85 pitch, 4 2/3. Is he gonna get out of the fifth inning?
Yeah, but
type game.
But you know, he may make some magic happen and get out of there with only two runs, and you'll feel good. You'll still be in the game.
A little scary, though.
It's going to be a roller coaster, but a lot of y'all like roller coasters. Me, not so much.
Murph and Peralta chopping up at batting practice today.
As they should
chopping
be.
Chopping it up.
I mean, that's his old
that's
guy.
No TMZ Ben here. It's just a picture on YouTube for you to see.
You think somebody told Andrew Fisher to lay off the social media? The guys were on.
I haven't
you?
Gotten any more updates on everything that's transpired of him changing his profile picture to the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay. Well, I can be patient. His time is coming in the future. Calling all Colin Bruss fans, do you need shirts for a big event coming up, or do you need to get your team hooked up with brand new uniforms? You got a big custom apparel that you need, anything, whether it's custom apparel, whether it's Chargers, like I got 250 of them things, you can get it all from Big Frog Custom T-shirts and more out in Mequon. They can take care of all of your custom apparel needs. And I'm telling you, what I loved about them was the customer service was second to none. Anything I need updated, it was quick communication and very fast turnarounds, and they can get it done. No minimums, but they can do big orders or small orders. If you need 500 shirts, they got you. If you need 200 in Chargers, they got you. I'm telling you this right now, Big Frog is top notch. The quality is fantastic, but on top of that, the customer service is second to none. They deliver the quality that you need in a quantity that you can count on. Make sure you shop today or in store, online or in store at bigfrog.com/Mequon. That's bigfrog.com/Mequon, or simply go out to the store at Big Frog and Mequon. I promise you, they'll take care of you. That's Big Frog Custom Apparel. They can hook you up with their custom t-shirts and more out in Mequon. That's Big Frog. Hook them up today.
C-Cat, you're up. Joint pain is awful when you're the person who's fighting through it, but I'm betting you're not the only one affected by it. Maybe you love somebody who you see struggling with joint pain. You see what they don't say. They've slowly stopped doing what they love, and it's time to be outside, moving, playing, and living in the summer. And if you're sitting out, you got to stop that. You got to get back to living your life. And at QC Kinetics, that's what's happening every day. People who are stuck in their cycle of pain in their hips, knees, shoulders, back, are finally stepping out of it with the regenerative treatments done right in the office. No surgery, long recovery, or putting life on hold. Just real relief. The inflammation's going to ease and the pain's going to let go. And we hear it all the time. The people around them say, he's back. They're back. She's back. Could be you or someone you love, and go find out what's possible with QC Kinetics. They're offering free consultations to see if you're a good candidate. Call 414-240-2298. That's 414-240-2298. 414-240-2298. All right, C-Cat, what do you got?
Barely keeping Kylan Brust on the air.
You decide to marry her. You decide to put the baby inside of her.
I love the NFL.
And somehow still finding time to judge the world around him.
You poked the bear. This looks delicious.
With C-Cat, this is Catastrophic.
Here it is.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you want to keep it that way?
Yeah. Well, I've got two different
You have our coming music still playing. Very good. Good job.
He a little rusty.
I got a compliment from Kyle and it threw me off guard. That's all.
Wait, do I not give compliments?
I mean, you give them, but they always come with like a addendum at the end.
Man, I don't know. I
got
to find
that.
A way just to give people compliments without telling them truly how I feel, like all of it.
All right. There's a situation that happened in Kansas City that might be most people in this room's worst nightmare.
Yeah. I want to talk. Have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, get ready, buddy.
No, you know what I'm going to talk about?
Oh, come on now. You know, I know all the little pop culture and trending topics. This one was crazy.
Firefighters in Kansas City were forced to cut apart a porta potty after a man somehow became trapped beneath the seat in a rescue. The video is going to play.
What do you mean beneath the seat?
Beneath the seat.
Like,
go ahead and
where
watch
all
it.
The stuff goes beneath the seat in the porta potty.
You got to go to YouTube for that. This, you got to watch
it. It's on YouTube right now. He's sitting there underneath begging for some help.
How did he get down there?
He's a skinny person.
He fell in.
You ain't never heard of somebody. Have you never told your child you may fall in?
Oh, he fell in?
He fell in.
He fell into the porta potty. But how did he fit in there? Like, he must be a little person to fit in there like that. There ain't no way a person over the 5 feet is able to fit inside of there. He was swimming in the poo. Like, there is not a shower I would be able to take to be able to get that. I would cut my dreads off. I would cut all my dreads off. I would go bald. I would look like Michael Jordan. I have to be. You sitting there, I'm just walking around. I'm just,
bro, like,
what is that smell?
How long was he in there?
Had to be long. They called the fire department. They weren't on site. Fire department ain't showing up in 2 minutes.
He got hosed down by the fire department afterwards, so I guess it's good the firefighters were there. Yeah.
They were, the thing is, they're like, can you get up? Get out? And like, it's just unbelievable. If I was, my friend's a firefighter, I got to ask him, bro, what would you do in this situation? I'm not giving it.
E. coli, norovirus.
He's swimming in all of that.
Bacterial infections.
All of that. Can you imagine he reached his hand up to try to get you to help him up?
Is that like the worst?
Methane and hydrogen sulfide.
Like, the worst case scenario you think when you're kind of unfortunate enough to have to use a porta potty is what? You forget to lock it and someone opens the door on you and it's embarrassing, right? This is the new worst thing that could happen in a porta potty, is that you get swallowed by said porta potty.
I don't know. I couldn't fit in a toilet, so
I don't know how he fell in a porta potty.
Well, I feel like if you are kind of zoned out and the toilet seat isn't down, you know the age-old adage where you fall into your own like home toilet because the seat is up? I feel like that's possible. Depends on how agape the mouth of the toilet is.
Yeah,
I don't like the way you said agape.
That is,
if it's a wide toilet, you got to be accessible for all size of bums, no?
Bro, you know
next,
how
next,
do you know
next,
how
next,
messed
next.
Up my back would be making that fall into the toilet like that at this age? Like just wow.
Yeah, but
you're
like,
worried about a
the fact
back?
That he disappeared underneath, like
he disappeared.
That's what I'm saying. I get maybe if the seat's up and you fall in, you get yourself out. It's still going to be the worst thing in the entire world.
No, he's like spelunking, climbing through a cave of a porta potty to get out.
Is there a worse place to get like trapped? Like where you actually survive? Like, yeah, I don't want to be trapped underwater.
I've heard of someone being trapped in the airplane bathroom, like a tight one, for a 2-hour flight.
They just pound the door.
How did
they couldn't get out?
How couldn't they get out?
I believe this was Tom Waddle of ESPN 1000. He was flying out to Bristol when he used to do NFL Live. And he got trapped in the bathroom.
They couldn't open it?
Couldn't open it.
What? Why could they not open? That would have broken.
I don't know.
That door would have been broken. I'm not in a bathroom.
So for two hours. Is that worse?
No, this is worse. This is worse. I would rather do that. But I would break the door down.
What if you couldn't break the door down?
Bro, there's.
I'm just. If you couldn't break the door down.
Yeah, I would take that because then I would just sit there.
Yeah, just sit in the toilet.
Just put the toilet in
those nasty airplane toilets.
You what? Yeah, you're sitting on a nasty airplane toilet. You're
okay,
not sitting
okay,
in, the poo
yeah, in the poo
inside
all right,
on
all right.
a nasty airplane
toilet. What else you got?
I went to a bachelor party this weekend, my first ever bachelor party. So,
how would you rate it?
I actually was asked this by my girlfriend when I got home yesterday.
Ooh, that means it must have been bad. She said, well, how would you rate that, honey?
The premier day went to a unbelievable destination golf course, top 10 in the country. That was a 10 out of 10. There's some stuff sandwiching it that didn't go as planned, i.e. the bachelor throwing up at dinner and having to deal with that, as we discussed earlier on in the show. Go back on the podcast, Kyle and Bruss, to hear that discussion. I would say, all in all, 7. A 7 of a 3.5 day bachelor party.
That's horrible. Let's get to Brian Bullock. That's depressing. Brian Bullock is going to join us before the Homer Hour. Don't go anywhere. Joining us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline, Kyle and Brust, is Brian Bullock. Brian, what's going on? I'm sorry. I feel bad because Homer lost his backpack and he walks in with this.
Well, we told him we can get him a new backpack.
I know.
He doesn't,
I don't even know how to
punish.
Describe what that thing. It looks like you can put a dog in it
it's
and carry it around.
It's a weird looking bag. Yeah, it does look like a dog basket.
Homer, what, where did you get that?
Someone gave it to me years ago. I figure I'm not going to lose that.
Fair
That's all
enough.
That matters.
And it's got your name on it.
I kind of hope he does lose it.
Hey, whoa, whoa,
just
whoa.
Because I wanted to go back to a backpack. I know he's traumatized.
Nothing like the man who wants to help me out.
Right?
No, it's just
always
you look,
here to always me, here to tell
you
me what I'm doing wrong.
Homer, you look ridiculous.
He doesn't care.
You know, I know he doesn't care, but the reason why...
Who should worry about if I look ridiculous? Shouldn't I? I'm sorry that you feel like I look ridiculous.
You
Boy,
are
I can take over.
He's a reflection of ESPN Wisconsin. He's walking around. They probably see him and think he's lost or something's wrong. That's what he looks like.
That could be fine. True. Has anyone came
they
and tapped you on the shoulder
want.
And said, "Are you okay, sir?"
No. They said, why does that guy on the station try to tell you how to live? That's
do you need to point you in the right direction, sir?
Hey,
are you okay?
Brian, what's going on?
Not much. What is it, a knapsack?
Brian, I can't even.
Wait, like, our job even, is
I wish
to describe
it
things.
Was a knapsack. I can't even. Homer, can you just put that on the table for us?
No.
I want to give him a backpack.
No, so, just go on to something else.
All right.
You've already made yourself clear. You've embarrassed me, like, how many times? Saying I'm bad, I don't act right. I don't know. How many negatives about me did I get in the last 2 minutes?
He just can't help himself.
I know, because he's here to help. He's here to help.
Bad?
When did you decide that you could decide what other people should do?
Yeah. I don't get to decide. I,
powerful.
I can give
Since he got married, he thinks he can tell everyone what to do.
No, he's been doing it longer than that. I can't.
Brian, it was interesting to hear from Isaiah McDuffie about a very similar conversation we've been talking about since last season. It's about finishing games. When it comes to finishing games, is it the guys on the field, is the head coach? Like, take us through the order of operations on, like, how this can get fixed. And obviously, it's hard to do it in practice. You got to prove it in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you could go through every scenario you want in practice in 2 minute or 4 minute or goal line. You can go through all those scenarios in practice and That doesn't do anything until you actually get in the game and it's real and you're going against an opponent and you have to get the job done. And I always looked at that as finishing out games as a player thing. Coaches can call the plays. They can talk to you on the sideline, tell you how bad this was or that was, show you the corrections. But at the end of the day, it's the players on the field. The players on the field have to make those corrections, see what they're doing wrong, and actually go execute what they're being told.
Well,
go ahead. What?
I was going to say, do you think the Packers made the acquisitions in the offseason, getting under Javon Hargrave, getting a Zaire Franklin-type guys on the defense to help them finish games, especially without Micah Parsons for the first 4 weeks of the season at least?
Yeah, I mean, I think bringing in a little bit of veteran leadership, I think, is something that is going to be a positive for this team. Guys that have been around the block a little bit, that have a little bit of experience, maybe are a little bit calmer and don't maybe get, I don't want to say panic, but don't get a little nervous when things start to go a little bit haywire, right? When it's not perfect, that doesn't mean you throw everything out the window and want to change everything and do things different. I mean, you have to change some things, but stick to the plan, stick to what you know, stick to your training and just methodically, you know, stop the bleeding, whether it was like in the Chicago game there at the end, stop the bleeding, get off the field, offense, get on the field, get some yardage, get the ball moving. It's just small things like that that can turn the tide and help you finish football games. But everyone wants to get on the floor about it and what happened in the Chicago game. I mean, I've said this to Homer. I've said this to you guys. I've said this to Wilby and Tausch, and Tausch knows it too. Like, there's only so many changes and so many things you can do from a play calling standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, to get things right in those situations. At the end of the day, like, the players have to execute it and get it done. And still at the end of the day, the players have all the tools on the field to change in and out of plays, to change coverages, to change if they're on defense pressures, checking out of things, checking into things. So, like, there's tools at their disposal on field that can put them in good situations. It's up to them to do it. And that's really what it comes down to. So that's why I always think finishing games is player driven and it's the guys that you have and the mentality that you have when you get late in the games and maybe things aren't going well. It's up to those guys to get it right and figure it out.
Talking with Brian Bulaga on the Yingling guest hotline before the Homer Hour. Brian, what are the top three things that you would be looking to learn in training camp?
First thing is defensively is what's the structure of this defense look like, right? Like what does it look like day one, base defense, your go-to defense that you're most comfortable with? What does that look like, right? Like is it five down? Is it three down? Is it four down? Like what type of defense does Gannon like? What's his go-to defense? And I think that's going to be important to find out. Second thing for me would probably, I'm going to stay on that side of the ball. It's going to be the secondary, right? Who steps up in the secondary to be the second corner? And how does that group look as training camp progresses? And who stands out? Does someone make a name for themselves? And does someone emerge out of that group to be the true number two and be a good number two? That's something I'm looking for. That obviously, the third thing for me is, how's Jordan Morgan doing at left tackle? That to me is the next one, is how is he performing at the left tackle spot? How is the progression going?
How much can you learn about that in training camp?
I mean, I think you look at it from the 11 to the 11 drills, how he's holding up in that. And then when you do the joint sessions, those are open to the public, right? You get to watch those. When you do joint sessions with other teams, Homer and I have talked about this a bunch, those are essentially more valuable than preseason games these days, especially for the starters. You can get a lot of information from that. That's starter versus starter in joint sessions. So you're going to see Jordan Morgan go against all these other team starters. How does he look? How is he holding up? If he does get beat on a play, how does he recover from it? Does it linger on? Does he continue to have bad plays in a row? Is he able to wipe it and move on to the next one and continue to perform at a high level? So those will be the three things that I'm really paying attention to. Man.
Really quickly with Jordan Morgan.
Steelers, too. Good pass rush.
What should we expect, even though it's his third year, he's played games before. What should we expect from Jordan Morgan in year three? Should we be taking it slow, or should we expect for him to just step up and be a solid left tackle right away?
I think you got to give him a couple games to get comfortable with the position. I know he's going to have all training camp and things like that, but he hasn't really played that position besides in a training camp environment and now this training camp environment, right? He's been moved all over the place. So I think give him a couple games to get his feet settled and feel comfortable with it. Then by week three, week four is when the judgment for me will probably start and how he's performing.
Thank you, Brian. Don't go too far. And if you're listening, don't go anywhere, because the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour is up next in 2 minutes.